Okay, are we in business?
Yep.
Looks like it.
Okay, great. All right, it is 5:26 on January 17th, 2024. We'll call to order the meeting of the Central Arizona Independent Oversight Committee. I'm looking around, let's just go through and we'll do a roll call. Rachel Strife?
Present.
Summer Walter?
Present.
Sabrina Taylor?
Here.
Matthew Moody?
Present.
Dr. Potts?
Present.
I'm present. Who's on that I don't see on my screen?
As a guest, Karen Ulick from Arizona Complete Health.
All right. Any members not present? I can't see on my screen anybody but the ones I called. Okay, we do have quorum. So not attending this evening, it would appear, let's see who's not here. Looks like our county attorney is not here. Anybody else? I think not. All right.
Holly, would you like me to go through the list of attendees for you?
Yes.
I can call them out for you.
That'd be good.
Mr. Randall? Alyssa Randall?
Yeah, sorry, I couldn't get off my mute. Hi, Alyssa Randall. Mm-hmm. I'm with Access.
Thank you. Crystal Fox?
Hi, this is Crystal Fox. I'm with the DDDIOC West Valley.
Hi, Crystal.
Thank you.
Hi.
Thank you, Crystal. Don McReynolds?
Hi, everybody. This is Don McReynolds. I am the OIFA administrator at United Healthcare.
Welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Frederica?
Hello, this is Frederica Graham with Access.
Hi, Frederica. I saw you. Thank you. Thanks for being here.
Sure.
Joanne Kautzman?
Hello, everyone. Joe Kautzman with Banner Health.
Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you.
Joel?
Yeah, hi, Joel Thompson. My third meeting considering joining the committee.
Great. Thanks for coming back.
And Tyson?
Nope. Tyson Gillespie. I am the OIFA administrator at Mercy Care Health Plans.
Hi, Tyson. Thank you for attending and welcome. And is Katie Williams?
No.
All right. She's trying to attend. She did have court and she was not sure, given a couple of the cases, if she would make it or if she. If she did, she knew she would be late. So we'll just go ahead. At this point, as Joel indicated, this is Joel's third meeting. Joel, would you just briefly remind everyone of your outstanding background?
Sure. I started off at the REBA in 2006 as a case manager, and then I worked as a clinical coordinator initially for Value Options, and then Magellan, and then Southwest Network, all kind of rotated around me. And then I spent 10 years following that at the VA as a social worker in a number of different positions and departments. And then just about a year ago, I left the VA and launched a private practice, and that's what I've been doing since.
Great, thank you. And Joel's private practice is called Percolate Counseling, which I love the name. It's an inspiring name, and I think it's kind of like how we all proceed. We just sort of percolate along. So thank you. I would at this time entertain a motion to extend to Joel the invitation to join the Central Arizona IOC. I think Joel brings a great deal of experience, and in particular with the veterans population, which we know is a population that we hear a lot about, but certainly probably not enough. And we don't know exactly, at least I don't, how those individuals, given their service affiliation, their service to their country, how they're faring in the community-based mental health system. So thank you for your interest. Is there a motion to extend that invitation and accept Joel as a member?
I motion to invite Joel to the IOC.
I'll second that. That's Dr. Potts.
We'll have a vote at this time. All in favor?
No, I have a questions, please. Do we not have allowed to?
Yes, Dr. Potts.
Thank you. Thanks, Mr. Thompson. So what is your private practice to what clients you're looking at? What are you going to be doing?
I work with adults and couples and some families, but mostly just adults and couples. And that is a large proportion of my clients are veterans and or first responders. And that's kind of the I guess niche that has kind of found me, not that I've necessarily sought it out. But that said, it's I work with any adults that have any kind of I guess need or desire for therapy.
So psychotherapy then. Do you take insurance?
I don't take insurance.
Okay, well, it's a lot of private practice folks don't, as we know. No, I think your experience would be great.
Is that all, Dr. Potts?
For me.
Any other questions? I think we at the first meeting when Joel was here and introduced, we discussed his interest, his reasons for seeking, for being interested in serving on the committee, his work to date with Matt, and so forth. So if there are no further questions or discussion, then I will ask for the vote. All in favor of extending the invitation to Joel Thompson to join the Central Arizona IOC, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any nays? Welcome, Joel.
Thank you.
And if you'll go down on the second page to all the subcommittees, we're going to make you the new chair of all those subcommittees. That's what folks don't know. It's kind of like Hell Week, right? Or I mean,
hey, Holly.
Thank you. Yes.
Frederica raised her hand. I don't know if she needed something or if it was an accident.
Oh, I didn't see it. I'm sorry.
No problems. I was just going to ask real quick because I haven't seen the application and I may have just not received it. But Joel, did you complete the application? I just generally like to see, I keep track of those so that when I'm sending out all of the information for the new members, I can have the details of your contact and that sort of thing.
Sure. We'll get it to you.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Okay. Let's go to our community partners, health plans, designated organizations, health plan representatives. Can you guys share any information that you have?
Hi, Holly. This is Joe with Banner Health.
Hi, Joe.
Hi. We have no updates at this time. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Maria with Blue Cross and Blue Shield. No updates at this time.
Thank you.
Hi, Holly. This is Dominic Reynolds from United Healthcare. We also don't have updates at this time.
Okay. Thank you, Don.
And Karen Ulick from Arizona Complete Health. No updates at this time.
All righty. Thank you.
And I'll be the odd person out. Tyson from Mercy Care. Just one announcement. We do have a new OIFA administrator with our health plans, and that's me. So I'd love to get to know this committee in the future. Part of the state and how we can support any efforts the committee has. Also, having our annual connections conference in April of this year, April 11th and 12th. And I'll make sure I'll pass along information about that conference for individuals and providers who might be interested in attending the conference in April.
Great. Thank you, Tyson. I would love to have you back to do some presentations, talk about some issues. You help us identify some issues that we should be concerned about in the with Mercy and your OIFA efforts, or not concerned about, but that we should know about. And I'm sure Mercy has probably the largest OIFA contingents and contingency in the country, in the state. So I do hope we can follow up with you and get you back to talk to us about OIFA.
Holly, I would be happy to reach out and talk about what the committee would like to hear. And I plan to be the standing OIFA team member that will be coming to the central region meetings.
Great. Thank you very much. Okay. From Larry and Frederica, any updates from you guys?
I have one quick update for the committee.
Uh-huh.
I did meet with the boards of commissions at the governor's office a couple weeks ago regarding recruitment.
Uh-huh.
So candidates that come in that are not a good fit for some of the commissions that for the governor, I'm hoping they said they were going to redirect those that were interested in IOCs and doing service within the IOCs to get them over to us for vetting and to see if it's a good fit for the committee. So hopefully we can see an uptick in our numbers.
Excellent. That's good. We've been very lucky in the recently we've gotten lots of positions filled. We have them filled with extremely knowledgeable people, but there are tons more out there that we need to know about and be able to, see if they're interested in joining this group or the other IOCs. So thank you very much for doing that. Community organizations. Frederica.
No worries. I don't have any updates for you today, Holly. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll probably need to get Joel into a training session. And anybody who needs an additional training session could join that on the portal. I think Joel's expertise in reading some, in looking at IADs and so forth will be outstanding. That will be a good, nice addition for us. And so Joel can be in touch with you directly, right, Frederica?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, thank you. Now, community organizations, Mental Health of America, Matthew.
Yes, I do have a thing. We are putting together a webinar, and so I was just seeing if there's anyone on the phone that would be able to or could refer me to somebody that could help. I think everyone on the phone probably knows that it can be difficult to navigate your insurance company to get mental health services. So I'm looking for hopefully a Medicaid provider that'd be willing to come, a Medicaid insurance company that would be willing to come to a webinar and talk about how to communicate with your insurance company, how to ask about things like getting counseling, finding a counselor that's in network, things like if you're on a specific medication and you want to stay on the specific type of medication, not go to a non-brand name, for example, because it's not as effective, advocating with your insurance company and those situations. So I'm just putting it out there to everyone on, if you want to volunteer right now, that'd be great. But if you guys could all just look at, think about who your organizations might be willing and open to doing that. I think it'll be a really good way to, advertise in a way, but to provide exposure to the community that you're a good insurance company and that you're willing to help your members. So just throwing it out there, we're looking to do that in the next couple of months. Email me if you can, and I'll throw my email in the chat.
Great. Arizona Complete might be an excellent resource. I know their parent or super parent company, I believe, Centene is the largest Medicaid contractor in the country, I believe. I may be wrong about that. But that's a very impressive national organization in the Medicaid field. So that would be one place. But we should all think about that. I think the issue of navigating to get the get benefits is something that all of us struggle with, and certainly in the mental health field. So thank you on that. And we have a new community organization to introduce tonight who will be joining you probably, who will be presenting regularly. And that is Mad Moms. I love the title. And they have made a significant inroad very quickly in the Phoenix area, Arizona, but they also have national moms nationally who are joining the group. Rachel will explain what they're doing, but they have very quickly become the subject of a number of extremely positive media pieces about gaps in the system of care, about the families, the struggles, the very day-to-day struggles that families are dealing with, moms in particular. Inspired a senator, Senator Catherine Miranda, who, after hearing a couple of these stories, decided that she was going to, she was already focused on SMI, but she decided that she was going to have every Monday on the Senate floor be, in her words, Mental Health Monday. And she is going to read a story a week while the legislature is in session about challenges confronting a mom and her family as she tried to, as they tried to get care for their individual who is typically designated SMI, in some cases may not have been fortunate enough, as Crystal Fox's son was not, to get SMI designation. So to have an Arizona senator designate a day of the week, Mental Health Monday, and start reading stories about the very thing that this IOC is statutorily expected to help oversee, I think that's a real inspiration for us. It is for me. And so, Rachel, would you tell us a little bit about Mad Moms? How many people you've got, your interest, the focus areas, et cetera?
Thank you, Holly. The Mad Moms, as we're now called, and we actually have a website that's been launched and is still under construction, but you can go to it. It's going to be arizonamadmoms.com. Initially, there's just been a group of families kind of informally referring to ourselves as the Mad Moms, just as mothers who are chronically mad, I guess. I honestly don't know. I don't know how we all came together. Honestly, maybe we connected on Facebook initially. But the group has grown, and I think the organization ACME brought some families together where we've just sort of connected and shared in some common issues. And then, you know, very recently, we had been supporting several families who have kids caught up in the criminal justice system, and notably Joshua Fox. And his mother, Crystal Fox, is here. it's been a tragedy. And, you know, Joshua, he killed his father in 2021 after not getting treated. He easily qualified as danger to self or others, and just never received treatment. And his father lost his life as a result of that. And we were really rallying behind this kid. We wanted him to get treatment. I testified at his sentencing hearing. We thought he was going to have an opportunity for treatment someday after serving his manslaughter sentence. And that that tragically ended when he hung himself as soon as he got to prison. And that happened just this past December. But during that process, and it's tragic that it took a tragedy like the loss of Crystal's son,
but we're now up to more than 80 families, and I would say 20 allies. So our roster is over 100, and we're being contacted now daily by, you know, new families. I am really getting a sense that there is a woeful shortage of competent services within our, specifically the involuntary treatment path of the SMI services that are supposed to be provided. The units that were closed out of Valleywise during the pandemic that have yet to reopen and that we're trying to reopen has resulted in a number of dangerous individuals and deteriorating individuals being released without treatment. And there's just an obvious lack of competent services that we're seeing. And the Mad Moms are frustrated and determined to do something about it. And we're grateful about the news coverage. There's been several news articles recently with both 12 News and the Arizona Republic bringing attention to our causes and concerns. And then of course, Senator Catherine Miranda really taking this on. And every Monday on the Senate gallery, we're going to have a story of a family. And as the moms are sending me their stories for review before we send them to Catherine Miranda, there is absolute tragedy happening now. And more, if you think the Joshua Fox story is shocking, there is more shocking stories are going to come out. So we're here to make things better.
I think it would be great, Rachel, if you could collect those stories mm-hmm. each month, and then we can attach them to the minutes or to the agenda. Because I think when you read one of these stories, it's a very powerful way to get a concrete example of something where multiple things have gone wrong, and it may help us in our identification of issues. We may start to spot some trends or some commonalities. So it's one additional piece of information, and we may see some places that we would like to make site visits, which we can certainly use, because the moms are not shy about sharing the providers and, you know, specifics. So not to shame, but to call attention to specific parts of the continuum of care. So
Matt has a hand raised.
Okay, Matt, yeah.
Hey, you know, Rachel, you and I have spoken, but Mrs. Fox, I just wanted to let you know, I've been in the mental health industry for 15 years now. And I'm so sorry everything that's happened to you guys and through the system and so forth. But I wanted to let you know that like your bravery and your courageousness has truly deeply inspired me in a way that I haven't been in a long time doing this type of work. So I just wanted to thank you guys for, you know, standing up there in that Senate hearing. I didn't get a chance to come say hello to you, Mrs. Fox. But what you guys are doing is at the core of advocacy. And yeah, I just wanted to say thank you for inspiring me personally. So keep it up. I'll support you guys how I can.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. So I'm very excited about this edition. I have a question. Who is the person we should reach out to at NAMI to get some representation by NAMI? I believe the new president of NAMI Valley of the Sun is Christina Sabetta. So maybe we should reach out to Christina. I guess for us as the Central Arizona, probably Valley of the Sun is the best NAMI chapter. Is that a good point? I think Crystal, maybe have you been involved in NAMI? I'll just ask Crystal.
I haven't been involved in NAMI that much. Again, Jane has been active with Mad Moms, but I've worked with Christine before. I don't know where I worked with her, maybe in one of the OIFA. And I remember her being very good.
Peer and Family Coalition. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I remember her being very, very good. So she had a pretty rough NAMI meeting last time, but She may be willing to come.
Well, maybe she'll find solace and comfort and refuge here, as they say, right? Good. And just, I want to also, I've seen emails being posted and shared with Matt and by different organizations. I saw Banner, I saw, I think UHC, I saw, or several in addition to Arizona Complete. Thank you guys for offering and for sharing that information. Okay, let's go through the...
Dr. Potts has her hand raised.
Dr. Potts, you have your hand up.
Yeah, thank you. Ms. Fox, as you know, I'm very sorry for your loss. And, you know, I saw him very shortly before that. And it's not good. And I think it's actually reprehensible, especially knowing that the risk factors were there for your son to suicide. I don't know if that was communicated from the jail or not. Anyway.
Just so you know, Dr. Potts, I did, he got transferred on Tuesday, and I actually took your paperwork at 1 p.m. over to Alhambra and hand-delivered it to them. So they had that 24 hours before he passed away, and I thank you for writing that report and getting it to me.
Yeah, no, you did what you could, period. They're unequivocal. I think some of the system failed you, and I'm glad I could be part of that team. Secondly, I'm wondering if, Holly, you are on ACME board, I believe.
Yeah.
Can you maybe give us an update on what's happening with ACME? Because we never hear from them, even though a number of our members are on their board.
Well, good point. Let's see. ACME's got two pieces of legislation that are important this year. One is the independent governance at ASH. There is a board to create an independent governing body composed of community members, business people, mental health experts, not employees of the state, not employees of the Department of Health Services, so that there is truly independent oversight and the hospital is not both regulated by the Department of Health Services and also operated by the Department of Health Services. The second is a bill for secure residential to restore the funding, 25,000 plus in funding from that was swept last year at the end of the year for the construction of, I think, five berths, three in Maricopa County, one in Northern Arizona, one in Southern Arizona. Those are being run by, there are a couple of versions that are being run by different representatives. I actually don't know. I think in the Senate, I believe Senator Gowin is running the ASH bill in the one ASH bill. He's a Republican senator. Catherine Miranda is running the other ASH bill and a secure bill, secure residential bill. And then Senator Shope, who is chair of health, is also running a bill to restore the funding for secure. There are lots of mental health bills that other folks have introduced. The bills just dropped, quote unquote, in the House. They had to be filed, they had to be in by the 11th or by what was Monday or two? I guess Friday, yeah. The Senate, they had to be in the folders. So there are lots that are there and will be coming. There will probably be a number of bills that I'm not aware of that the members of the IOC might want to testify. There are a group of bills that Mad Moms is advocating that I think are very important and that are targeted to gaps in the system as we know it, that people being discharged from a hospital with an appointment at their clinic in a week and given no medication and no prescription. So they're without, including for things, even if they're going to be seen in like 3 days, 4 days, for things like clozapine, which is obviously very dangerous. And Dr. Punch, you'll be a key in educating us all about that. Rachel can tell you a bit more about the legislation that Mad Moms is proposing. And just a quick thing, I also know that Judge McDougall, whom some of you know, Jack knows well, has 4 bills that he's drafted that ACME is supporting. They just got submitted, and they are really more probate. Most of them are probate things, but I can get everybody copies of those. And we'll, I think it would be useful to have a little special meeting maybe to, once we can get these bills ordered, organized into some form, and talk about them, because I always learn when people are talking about proposed legislation, I learn a lot more about what's wrong now. So I think it would be a useful study session to have in anticipation of potential testimony.
Yeah, and I'll just add that there's 8 bills submitted by Mad Moms being sponsored by Senator Wadzak and Senator Miranda so far, among them Joshua's Law. So it's going to be a 2024 version of Joshua's Law. A big overhaul is needed. So it's just the beginning, some low-hanging fruit, if you will.
I think it's really cool that we have Senator Miranda, a Democrat in the Senate, and Senator Wadzak, a Republican senator, and they're sponsoring, you know, bills that are intended to fix the same problems, accomplish many of the same things. They're not overlapping, particularly they're not identical, but it's a real cool thing to see. So we'll try to keep that in mind. And thank you, Dr. Potts, for asking about.
And he's got another question.
About that. Yeah.
Yeah, not a question, but if you'd be kind enough to email the SB or HB numbers.
Sure.
Then I can also look them up and possibly bring them to the attention of my professional organization who has a lobbyist there to see if they might be, we might be able to support them or not. So
great.
I tend to think that's something that'd be nice to, for all of the membership to get a copy of, a copy, we can get our own copy, but at least the numbers.
Sure.
And those, I think that the ACME, I can ask Lori maybe, but ACME, but also, and us, but Mad Mom supports or maybe doesn't support, so we can actively oppose.
Yeah, yeah. We'll get you all of those. The they were just dropping, and they were dropping so fast that I wasn't focused on yet getting copies. But what we can do is put together, I can put them in Dropbox and send a link, and everybody can just go to the Dropbox and have them. It'll just be my firm's Dropbox. We may want to get actually an IOC Dropbox for this purpose going forward.
Or just the bill numbers don't need a Dropbox. We can all go and find it ourselves. And if we don't, we can learn how to find them on the websites because it's not that complex.
Okay.
Just a thought.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments from anybody? And do we have, is Ken Carrolls or Dorothy O'Brien or Lori on? I didn't think to ask at the beginning. Apparently not. Okay. Site visits. Josh does not have a report. And sadly, as you know, Josh's work has and his commitments have become such that he had to make a decision. That a tough decision, which was that he could not remain on the committee. So he has resigned and we'll have him back for a meeting to thank him for his work. Is there someone on the committee now who would like to step forward and share the site visit subcommittee? We can talk about it. But I thought I would just put that out there. Or if everybody wants to point at some one individual, we can all then step back, right? You'll be the chair de facto. It's like the firing squad method for selecting a chair. Anybody who's interested in coordinating that, we can explain how we do it or don't. But I think it's it is an important one. We don't have to do that tonight. We can think about it and we can discuss going forward how we want to do it. But just to put that out there, we are going to need a site visit subcommittee chair. Okay. Hello.
Whoever wants to be chair, I'll be glad to help you in giving you some thoughts. I've done more than anyone else on the committee, obviously, since a fairly new committee. But I'm chair of the IED committee. I don't have a desire to be chair of the site visits, but I can help, and I will attend the site visits.
Great. Thank you. And we have one IAD on the agenda that Dr. Potts circulated. Does everybody have that? It's a quality of care resolution report, and it is was sent out with the agenda.
Am I allowed to send it to Joel now? Could I forward it to Joel while we're here?
Might be helpful. Okay. We'll see how good of a speed reader you are there.
1 second, Joel.
Are we looking at the IED subcommittee report right now?
I'm sorry. I assumed I didn't know other than this one, if other than the one that you had pointed out, if there were any reports. I thought there were not.
I thought this was a time for the chairs of the subcommittees to make their reports, including the four. Yeah. We have four or five subcommittees. Site visits didn't make a report, obviously, because we had no site visits.
Well, do you have a report, Dr. Potts?
Yes, I do. Good. I'm wondering if any of the members besides me have reviewed any of the IEDs.
I have, however, I haven't felt comfortable clicking that they've been reviewed because I've felt kind of overwhelmed and not really sure what to be looking for. Okay. You actually sending out the one that you reviewed was really helpful because I see what it was that caught your attention. So that's my situation.
Okay. I'm sorry, who else?
No, I had a question for Rachel. What, if you were looking on the portal, mm-hmm. was it lack of familiarity with the portal or just what to look for?
So you still can't sort for special assistance members, which I was wanting to be able to check that, and that wasn't an option. And the only filtering that I could see gave me hundreds. I even when I filtered it down to adolescent, because that's my subcategory, it's like it didn't quite filter to anything manageable. So I just started looking at what I could, not in a very structured way. And I guess I didn't know what I was necessarily looking for.
Well, let me give some thoughts on this.
Sure.
I don't think anyone else has looked at the IDs. Okay. No. So if, and I really think we talked about it last session, I think it is up to all of the committee to look at that. I've reviewed over 100 IDs, probably 150 IDs. And Rachel, no matter what comfort level you feel with, you need to check the box.
Okay.
Once you open it, I think it's important to check it so you can do it. And I have a way of following through on this, but I have about 10 that I've asked Frederica to give us some feedback on. To me, it's easy to sort through. I get, there's probably 80 to 110 for the week I have committed to per month to review. Maybe takes an hour, a little over an hour, to just scan them and see. So if we want to meet or you want to just call, we can do it together on the phone, going through some of those together. But I find there's no problem with the site, except that we don't have the special assistance as we wanted before. And we need to, that should be on the agenda. Number one. Number two, Frederica has been very good, at least on a couple of the requests I sent in within the last couple of days. She's gotten responses already. Some were cause of death. Some of them are some errors in the report saying one was had no guardian, and the same report saying they did have a guardian or whatever. So that was just small errors that sometimes I'll point out to help clarify. This case is a very interesting case, and I sent it to everyone, and we are allowed to send these cases to members.
Mm-hmm.
I clarified that beforehand. And I thought I had a concern, and if we can all look at the case, mm-hmm. They've had dozens of, what did it say on there? Two people were found passed out in the backyard of this group home.
Right.
Over a period of time, and it identified as initial, they identify the problems with an individual, which is simply a way of getting the report done, is the way it looks like in this case. And what was interesting, I think the how many times had Gilbert Police been there?
64 calls,
yeah.
Since January of 2023. That's and this was November. So
right.
It's busy.
Yeah. So that to me is an interesting issue. And that to me says the site visitors need to go there.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, this is not a close call. This is what the IEDs can do, can say, boy, if they have 65 mm-hmm. police calls and the police don't like this, this is what they've come to us before. So that's number one. And you can ignore the part about, in my mind, about the individual, a 40-year-old Hispanic male. That's not the issue in this report. My concern also is, and this is why I would like some guidance, is QOC, the quality of care investigation. This was referred, obviously, from just the IAD to a full investigation. Safety, risk management, unsafe environment. That's a ladder, like the one third of the way through the document. Says staffing is appropriate. So determination severity level, it says no quality of care issues. Zero, no quality issue finding. There's no evidence found for the medical record view, blah, blah, blah. Unsafe living environment. You know, I'm gonna do this. I don't know how the hell you can come up with that conclusion.
Right.
In any realistic world, but I think maybe I'm reading it wrong. So maybe I can ask, and I'm not gonna ask Frederica or Larry to comment on that, but this is not, I'm asking them to comment what it means, not because they have nothing to do with this. So I'm just asking for guidance of what that means. No quality of care issues. Is it because the one person they use as the flag to put this in there didn't have one? What about the two people unconscious? What about the 35 police calls? Do you see my question? And then the next
four question. Calls since January, yeah, for fights and absconding. I mean, this is shocking.
Well, yeah, that's right. So what does that mean? No, and maybe this is the licensure should be a licensure issue. And can we request stuff from them? But
well, is this Frederica? Home licensed? This home, if this is a group home, it may be unlicensed. If it's a sober living home, it more than likely was unlicensed. Although that's a generalization.
No, I think it's a BRRRF, but that, I'm just asking. What
even
does it
worse.
Mean? Yeah, no, I know. We know. So the question I have is, Frederica, one says no quality care issues following clinical evaluation, no quality issue finding. What's that in reference to?
That's a question that I can't answer, but if you guys want to put that in, obviously, in the requests for information, then I can shoot it up and get that answered for you guys.
Okay. I think what it is referring to the one individual maybe who was there when it happened. So this is a classic case. What do we do with something like this?
Well, I think we site visit. I think we need to listen to the 911 calls. That's who's calling and what they're saying. If a resident is calling and saying, please come quickly, Godzilla is here and Mickey Mouse ate all my food for dinner, that's a call. On the other hand, if they call and say there are two residents fighting in the backyard and they both got knives, that's a different one. I think listening to the 911s, now that's going to not be particularly easy, but.
Well, I'm going to beg to differ. I think that that way it goes, we don't need to even do that. We know they're called out so many times. We can get, if we have to, we can go and sit down with Gilbert PD, and they'll be, I'm sure the officer will be glad to tell us what the issues have been. You know, I mean, listening to 911 calls is like, gosh, they've already acted on those. But the amount of calls and why there's not a quality of care issue, to me, is the issue. You know, it's this is obviously by definition a quality of care issue. And it may not be because, see, it says the assigned nurse visited and the patient may be okay. So that's why there's no quality of care, because it's only on one individual. But this is a gestalt issue.
Yeah, I think that what stood out to me, there were a couple of things that stood out. There was a notation that the case manager, if you go on, it's like page 4, QOC investigation, opening allegation, it's a TREBA. So we know that that's the Native American TREBA. Member lives at the particular residential care. His case manager last conducted a home visit on 12/21/23. But that's after the report was submitted and closed. It looks like initial findings 12/6. Date of incident 11/25. But I wonder, where is the case, if they had the case manager report from a visit on 12/21, I would be interested. I'm surprised there's not anything in the chart from that 12/21 visit. The other thing is the police say that the patient was not breathing in the backyard. He overdosed on narcotics, drug paraphernalia found, second overdose 9/20 to 11/25, that's 60 days. 64 calls. And then look what the police write. It is clear that the patients, plural, are in danger from lack of supervision. There are also reports this home may be doubling as a sober living home. Please check all licenses and requirements. That is as specific and helpful and directed as a police officer could possibly write in alerting the behavioral health care system that something's amiss. And it's also saying it's unclear which member resident overdosed, but the name of the member was listed as one of three MCP members at this location. I don't understand why they couldn't get the name of the person who overdosed. Would the home not give them the name? Was the patient not transported? You find somebody unconscious, and you say it's overdose. Aren't they automatically transported? That'd be something for Sabrina.
Yeah. So overdoses are usually like, I think this is Gilbert PD, so I assume they operate the same. But on most overdose calls, it is the fire department that responds. Mm-hmm. Police will be sent to see who gets there first, but for the most part, we're taking second stage to fire. If they administer naloxone and the person wakes up, then it is their choice to go to the hospital or not. Quite often they do, but also quite often they are just angry and want to go back out and get high again. So quite a few refuse also. So as long as it's up to them, fire doesn't transport involuntarily.
Just to answer the question, Holly, this is a report that is in there from ADHS, from the Gilbert PD. Yeah. And so the second line is unclear which members, is not from the police report. Well, it's a, ADHS. I'm just.
Yeah, my, ADHS per an ADHS report received from Gilchrist PD. So when I read that, I'm assuming Gilbert PD respond. Well, they did because they got a call at 11:15.
Let me ask. I know, but what's MCP mean? Members, MCP members.
Where are you reading?
No, Mercy Care. I actually got this the other day from an ASU study. Let me look it up.
It's the same line you were reading, Holly. It's MC, one of three MCP.
Oh.
Mercy Care provider.
No, Mercy Care patients.
I don't know. I'm wondering if Mercy Care is on the line.
Mercy Care, help us out.
I mean, I am making an assumption because I don't know what abbreviation that whoever wrote that report, but I would say Mercy Care Plan or Mercy Care Patients. But I, again, this is just
right.
Contact clues.
So, as a committee chair, what I will do is I'll put an inquiry in, which I did not do on this. I want us to all look at this, so I'll put an inquiry off of this site, an inquiry form. And I will ask a number of questions on that and just ask, is this a licensed BHRF?
Well, we can look that up.
I can do that as a formal, and Frederick will forward it appropriately. And we can ask how many people are residing there, et cetera. We may be able to, I'll see if I can ask him what the exact address is. All I do know is it says it's Ivanhoe on the very top.
Yeah.
Alliance Behavioral Care, whether or not, and that's probably the actual address. So I'm going to suggest a site visit team.
Yeah,
it is. It's off of Velveston Ray. I just looked it up. It's in Gilbert off Velveston Ray.
Do you know how many are licensed?
They have 9 homes.
Yes, they do. So, Ivanhoe is a mesa, and these are
Gilbert.
It's a very nice
it looks like a nice house.
It's a very nice neighborhood.
Is that the office? We don't know. You see, that's my question.
No, it's the residence.
It's the residence.
It's a home.
And so that's where we maybe need to look if there's been overdose in the backyard. Anyway, this is an example of some of the issues we have with the IDs. And if I can find this one, and there's probably more out there, out of the ones I reviewed, there's 4 times the amount of reports I reviewed. So they're sitting out there and we need to look at them.
Well, so, I'm comfortable based on what I think you should go ahead and ask the reports. However, I'm comfortable based on what I've read. Once we get the license number, I'd happy to, I think we should, as the IOC, file a complaint at the licensure division and quality care complaint at the licensure division of the Department of Health Services. I don't think we can go and do a site visit, but I think that with this, 64 calls, unclear if that people are fighting, drug use, runaway, noise disturbances, patients in danger from lack of supervision.
As a chair of subcommittee, what I'd like to do is, number one, is find out how come the QOCs were no problems, right? This quality of care report said no report. So I'd like to understand what that means.
I'm sorry, I couldn't, you were echoing. I couldn't understand.
As a chair of the subcommittee for IADs, I would like to inquire first why the QOC evaluation, which is a bumped up. It means it's Mercy Care or someone did a resolution report.
Right.
Mercy Care Plan did that. Mm-hmm. How come they said that there is no findings of problems?
Well, I think
no evidence found. So I'm going to ask. I'm going to ask. How come they came to that conclusion? I'm also going to ask that we be provided with if there's been any reports or if Mercy Care forwarded this to the Department of Behavioral Health Services licensure department. And if so, if not, why not? Mm-hmm. I will also ask that we get provided, if I don't know how we'll do this, DBHS information for this facility.
It's online. The only public.
I, okay. Well, I'm going to ask them to Yeah, okay. I'm sure everything's online, but I don't have the knowledge, time, expertise to find everything that's online. So I'm wondering if that makes sense for me to do those prior to us doing formal stuff as the IOC.
Okay. What I'm, Dr. Potts, the reason that the quality of care resolution report was closed is always in the treatment information section, which is on the bottom of two. It's up on three. They have a very specific protocol to go through before they can close it. One of the things you do is check the CSPMP prescription program. You look at what level of care the member is on. You look at medications. Is he compliant with medications? When was he seen? Was he seen in accordance with the level of care? Have there been only routine visits or any unannounced visits by any member of the assigned team? And then you look at, you go and you interview and you ask the homes, you go look at their actual employee log. You say, how many people have you had? Is there a change in staffing level? Is there a change in?
I understand that. Can I interrupt? I understand that. That's not the issue. The issue is the line, there is no evidence found for the medical record and safety visit that indicate an unsafe living environment. So what they have done is ticked all the nice boxes that you just enumerated.
Yes.
And admit and ignored the dead body in the goddamn backyard. Well, so that's my issue. I know the boxes have been ticked, but what bothers me is that this is an obvious, you know, race, you know, thing speaks for itself. So that's what I'm going to inquire. I know the box. Something's wrong.
If you ask, I agree, Dr. Potts, but if you ask, why did you close this?
No, I'm not going to ask that. I'm going to ask, why did they say it was not an unsafe living environment? Because how can they say that if, in fact, they haven't investigated the living environment? There's nothing in their formula that says they didn't investigate the living environment and talk to the police and have looked at reviews. That's the issue there. It's not that I'm not going to ask why they closed it. I'm saying, why did you close it with this level, knowing this? How do you fix this?
Okay. The only way to fix this is to have Mercy Care or change the way they determine what's safe Mercy Care plan. Force them to change that. And the current protocols were followed.
Okay, that's great. Well, what do you want to do, Madam Chair? Because if the guys want me to do this, that's fine.
Happy. I believe there is enough information here at this point for the IOC to send this to the Department of Health Services and ask for an investigation as to quality of care at this facility and to consider whether this facility should be considered for termination as a result of quality of care concerns.
Do you think we're better to I think we should ask, have they done it before we say it?
That's fine. All right. I don't think we have to have a vote on that. If that's what you would like to do, I don't hear sense any opposition to you doing that. Oh, Matt, I didn't see it.
Oh, he had to step away. Never mind.
Tyrone, did you have your hand raised? Okay. Maybe I saw Matt's hand.
Can I just say one more thing? I'm wondering if Summer or Sabrina or my other colleagues on the committee see the issues I saw with this report.
I do. I see a big problem. Go ahead, Sabrina.
Yeah, Dr. Potts, as you know, I think that we should do site visits of locations that frequently call the police.
Mm-hmm. Are we able to get a list from Phoenix at PD of the most, and we can sort by type of location, like a behavioral health facility? Of 911 calls?
It is really difficult to get top call locations, because when you run that, what you get is Walmart, Circle K, and an apartment complex. So generally I find out by word of mouth. You know, Mercy Care has asked that we reach out to them first to see that if we can take a softer approach. So like Tyson, that would be through Frank and Tanisha. I could reach out to them and they could kind of look into it and see if we can solve the issues.
We just like to make site visits at houses, at behavioral health facilities with lots of calls. Mm-hmm. I don't know what softer approach there is unless they don't call.
Right. No, I just gave them. So usually when we do a referral for somebody who is a high utilizer of services, we can make like a quick attempt. Like, so if they're, I don't always know this, but like, let's just say that they're case managed and they're designated seriously mentally ill, then you can just make a quick call to their clinic and let them know like, hey, they're calling the police. And if the calls go away, then we let it lie. But if they don't, then we start to like request staffings, do, you know, request site visits if it's a group home. So I just promised Frank and Tanisha that I would come to them first before bringing it to the IOC. But I mean, I'm happy to do site visits. I mean, that
makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense. The concern that I have is really more from the perspective of victims of sex offense and domestic violence. We've all had the situation where you say, please call us whenever this happens. And if they call, they just get beaten again. So I think if call volume goes down, it's not an indication all the time that things got better. It may be an indication that there's limited access to phones, that there have been threats, that the people who were being injured have been transferred out and new people are coming in. So it's a complex issue, but certainly in the sex offender realm and in the domestic violence realm, a decrease in volume is not indicating that the people there are safer necessarily. I'd like to ask you, Sabrina, to follow up with Mercy Care, let them know of our concern, share this QOC, maybe if they really see here what we receive, what we pulled from our data mining.
I'm sorry, Holly, yeah. You can't do that with the, we have to, if someone is going to formally follow up from IOC to Mercy Care, we have to have a vote, and Mr. Allen will tell you that, and it has to be a formal inquiry. If you want me to pursue it the way I suggest I'm going to pursue it, then fine, but I believe Ms. Taylor, anyone cannot directly go to Mercy Care. Oh, can you informally backdoor this? That is not what access is for. That's not what it, DOA is. We can't do it that way. I mean, it'd be nice to, but that's not the proper way. And I for one, would clearly vote against doing a backdoor way of saying, hey, Tyson, would you please follow up on this? That ain't the way.
Okay.
So, to clarify, that was with my PD hat on. That was not my OIC hat.
I know it was, but to go informally on this QOC thing to say, hey, would you follow up with your PD hat? I think it's inappropriate.
No, I'm not asking.
I'm outside. I'm sorry.
Dr. Potts, if you, I think we need to do a mindfulness exercise.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. I didn't understand what you're asking Sabrina to do. I apologize.
All right. That's fine. So other hands are up. Let's see. Summer, Tyson had his hand up. Dr. Potts has his hand up again. Okay, Summer.
I think what concerns me too with reading on beyond like the actual home in of itself is there was also a statement that says there was no evidence found in medical record review to support any concerns relating to the inappropriateness of care by the clinical team. Excuse me? If there's a patient that is ODing or who knows the whole story and police are chronically called to this house. And it even says that there's no history of COT, a guardian. He makes all his decisions by himself. And if this individual is overdosing, the clinical team is aware of it and they're in a bad environment, I'm concerned about the assigned clinical team as well and how they're protecting the patient and their lack of care and making that their client is in a safe, proper home when they're directly responsible for finding appropriate housing for them.
Yeah. The issue on that, as I pointed out initially, was they simply took a resident of the home. This is the one who OD'd, you see, and said, oh, we'll look at this. That the only way Mercy Care anyone can investigate this is say, we have a resident here. So they put what seems like they picked a normal, okay resident who hadn't had problems. They reviewed his clinical treatment, didn't look at the whole gestalt. And so, and I agree with you, this is, something's wrong with this. They're missing the forest for the trees. They identified the tree that was growing healthy. And I want to suggest another thing, Ms. Taylor and Ms. Giesel, in the past, we have met with a paramedic chief for the fire department. He gave us a list of a half a dozen sites with it, which were problematic, and we went to those sites. So we could also talk to some of your members on your crisis response team in the PD. They will have names and numbers, just like any cop who in Gilbert would know these are problematic issues. So there's a number of ways of doing this and getting that, I think. But I think your resources, Ms. Taylor, are great. I'm going to send an inquiry and report back as to what the response were this night. Then I think we need to say there's got to be a better way of bird dogging this. And I will also ask, unless you want to do that, Madam Chair, to the DBHS to see if they've been investigation. If you want to do that separately, go for it.
I what I see here is so dramatically different than what I see in the sober living and Medicaid access fraud investigations. The paragraph, there were certain things that bothered me. And then if you look at the third paragraph on page 2, at the top, additional treatment information, and maybe Tyson can note this. There's no policy for observation checks for the provider. Every birth is required to have that as a written policy. You have to have checks when you're going to do checks on people. Continuous supervision over a 24-hour period, documentation in the daily progress notes, but the only specified schedule checks are if they're experiencing suicidality. And that's QM reviewed this policy. No quality of care concerns were identified. How can you not have a quality of care concern if there are no policies for observation checks? And they say that they're required to provide continuous supervision for 24 hours, but there's no documentation of that supervision. So I guess I am perfectly happy to get more information. I doubt that we are going to get that information in months, but that's okay. If we don't, then we can decide we want to just forward this with a letter of concern and ask the licensure and quality of care folks at the Department of Health Services to investigate. So we've got two steps, and I'm happy to have Dr. Potts do his first. Matthew has his hand up. Yes.
Firstly, I want to say that this is a very important conversation, and I do not want to impede upon the conversation that we are having right now. My question is, my understanding with creating subcommittees is that this type of work would be done in the subcommittees. These subcommittees would bring recommendations to this meeting, and then if votes were needed to happen, they would do it. If not, then they would just do their work. So that's question one, is that how we want it structured? Because this is very important work. The subcommittee that I'm the chair on, we met, we made movements, we did things, and I'm ready to report on those when we get to that part for that subcommittee. But I want to make sure that we're consistent with how all this works. Secondly, I just want to be clear here. It is my understanding that Dr. Potts is taking the action items to follow up with getting the information and to continue to follow up on this item until it is done, because he is the chair of that subcommittee, or is there another structure that we want to set up with doing that?
Dr. Potts would like to continue to follow up to resolution and bring it back to the committee. This is my understanding.
Okay, great. So Dr. Potts, I'll note it this time and make sure I keep track of it. So am I incorrect in how we wanted to run the subcommittees and this larger meeting that we're in right now?
I think you make a good point. Under the way that we had structured it, Dr. Potts could bring this to us. We could decide what we wanted to do and then do it. And that would be a successful report by the and activity by the subcommittee. What Dr. Potts is saying is that he does not want to do that. He personally wants to follow up on this as the subcommittee. And it's a subcommittee of one, because this came out of an IAD report, not a site visit. So Dr. Potts reviewed the IAD. He's bringing it to the committee and saying, here's what I found, and I want to follow up on it, as opposed to saying, here, committee, do it.
Let me clarify that. Number one, I sent it out for information purposes only, for discussion, to show people what was out there. Number one. Okay. Number two, I did not have a formal recommendation at that time, because I have not taken any further steps on that. Right. I was sending that out because I think this is one of the egregious. It's clearly egregious, and I want my colleagues to see what the value of doing IADs is. I have not done what I should do and all the members should do, is direct an initial inquiry. First step, number one, is an inquiry through Ms. Graham and through Larry Allen to get to have some questions asked. I have yet to do that. So I believe that needs to be done in all IADs. And then we can come back and say, this is the response. It was adequate or was inadequate. So I was simply sending this out because we had nothing else on the agenda. There's no other documents. It's kind of fun to have something that shows real life stuff happening. So yeah, that was my report, was that I reviewed over 100 IADs. Okay. I've inquired about a dozen of IEDs and rating on responses to those. I'm encouraging that the rest of the folks do it. I will be glad. You can call me anytime. I'll get a conference call anytime and guide you through it. We can get on the portal together. I'll show you how I do it.
So
I am responsible. I will make my report next month regarding this. I will follow up on this issue, but this was for information purposes only, not for action potential.
Hold on. Let me pause everyone real quick. Sorry, Rachel. I just want to be clear. So Dr. Potts, so I understand how the subcommittee is going to be run. The typical way that it would run is, people would review IADs, they would bring concerns to you, the chair, or you would have a regular meeting where you guys discuss the IADs, and then you would make motions or actions off of that. Is that how we'd like to do it? Because it's very important. It was very important that we discuss this today. I do not take that away from it. But we've spent, what I'm looking at, 45 minutes discussing one IAD. Again, very important. We need to make all these moves. There's a huge egregious issue with the system that needs to be addressed. But we've done like one. Right. And we haven't got the other things that we're supposed to get to. So I just want to make sure that is the correct order of operations, is we review IADs. If we have a concern, we bring it to Dr. Potts. Dr. Potts formulates. Tell me where I'm wrong, Dr. Potts.
Well, no, I think all the members have a right to bring issues in front of the committee. It doesn't have to go through a chair or a subcommittee chair, or whatever. That would be limiting. Number two, the agenda I see nothing else of substance besides reports on the agenda, and didn't know there are other reports there, because we do not have the other issues. But then number three is, my sense is, as a subcommittee or whoever does IADs, we should talk collaboratively, and as some stick out, but this was an interesting read. That's it. And it took time because it bothers all of us. And I think it's good that we all get involved, and I realize the time is lengthy. You're right.
So Dr. Potts, you're correct. And I signed up. I'm waiting. I apologize. I signed up to get, these dogs are arguing right now. I signed up to get in the portal. I need to do my piece as well, but we have to have a formal.
No, I think he's talking to somebody.
Yeah, I got the dogs. I apologize. We need to have a formalized process here, or we're only ever going to get to one IAD every meeting, and then we're going to have a meeting cancel in December. So now we're not even going to have your Dr. Potts. You've agreed to follow up on this one IAD, and it's great. And I believe that things will get done from that. But if we spend every meeting just going over one IAD, we aren't maximizing our time. Whereas if every board member goes and reviews these, sends them to somebody, and somebody organizes a group of responses for them, then we can get a lot more done.
I agree.
And not do one IAD meeting.
Yeah. You know, this is a work in progress. I don't know how many subcommittees meetings we've had when we've had reports of subcommittees. It's a work in progress, so we'll figure it out.
I would not have put this on the agenda, nor would for this purpose. I understood, Dr. Potts, my bad, that this you were bringing this to the committee for discussion, for review, discussion, and action. I did not understand that it was a teaching exercise and an information sharing exercise. That's my bad. I have, as the chair, I wasted 45 minutes because I thought it was an item for action. Okay, let's move on. We don't have any other quality of care reports, any other IAD reports. We've covered the report that's on the agenda. And Matt, you have reports.
Yeah, thank you. Sorry, and just to be clear, I'm not trying to be cantankerous or obstructionist in any way, shape, or form. I want to be organized and efficient. That's my goal. So the follow-up subcommittee had ongoing email conversation and did meet to go over the the hospital discharge issue. Rachel was great and found five different people who had gone through negative experiences in being discharged from the hospital. A draft email or almost finalized email has been given to the chairs to send on to Access and Mercy Care. So we believe that we have five people that went through pretty significant issues with being discharged, including specific dates and times that they were discharged, guardianship documents, releases of information, so that this can be given to the powers that be to investigate. So that was our step. Once that is sent, I'll report back next time on responses we got from Access and Mercy Care in this situation.
Great, thank you. Any other subcommittee report, Matt?
Tyson has a question.
Oh, Tyson, hi, yes.
I don't want to take the committee's time because I know we're running short on time, but Matthew, if you could email me or reach out to me about what the concern about the hospital discharge process was, because that was clearly from a previous agenda, just so that I can be internally looking into that at Mercy Care.
Great. Thank you, Tyson, for that kind of collaboration is really important. And I think it's good to have the direct IOC to entity communication. I think it will build trust. I think it will build in transparency. So I do thank you for that. And who had, okay, Jack, Dr. Potts has his hand up. Yes.
I guess I'm questioning, and Matthew, help me with this, because my understanding from Larry and Frederica is that formal inquiries go through ADOA, and that is exactly where we got the ADOA involved and had the IOC put there. So I heard you saying you're going to send for a formal inquiry from IOC directly to the managed care organization.
I apologize if I use the incorrect words. I'm ignorant to what formal inquiry means. My understanding is, Holly, if you want to chime in, we are sending an email to Mercy Care and Access asking them to look into something and provide information on a situation. Is that correct?
That is correct. And it goes through the proper channels. So okay. we're not delinquent.
Yet. No. All right. So which are you going to send it through Larry and Frederica through Larry and then he will forward it? That's my question.
I'm sorry. I didn't know what your question was. I'm sorry. Yes. And yes.
Okay.
Yes, and then, yes, Frederica.
Okay. And then secondly, then it must be presented as a motion because it has to be the IOC, not just a subcommittee. It has to be, and you know, whatever you want to form, but we need to have a motion that says we want a formal inquiry or questions. That's part of the policy. Now, I'd like to ask Larry if I'm wrong on that, if it's changed, but that was the policy ever since ADOA. So subcommittees shouldn't be able to, I believe, without the full IOC backing it, send out, oh, I've got an inquiry and I want to make it, because the IOC has to have the strength of the formal IOC. That's what the past
is. Not, yeah, the subcommittee isn't sending it out. It comes to the chair or co-chairs, and the co-chairs send it through Larry and through Frederica.
So the co-chairs are allowed to, see, that's not my understanding, that a formal inquiry has to be voted upon by the IOC. I'm asking Larry Allen that. Is that,
I don't believe it goes to Larry, but I'm not aware of a policy in, we have the policies and procedures. Each IOC has its policy and procedure. Now, if Larry wants to point out, we haven't done this yet, but okay. I would not, I think that we are, so we'll talk about it with Larry. And okay. See
if that's all. Thank you.
And we can bring it up. I want to emphasize that when I started as co-chair, I had a couple of very simple but very specific objectives. One was to grow the committee, to add members, to create diversity in membership, all under grow the committee. The second was to make the committee, to have the committee's business conducted in a more professional, less adversarial way, and with greater direct involvement and interaction with our community partners and so forth. And the third was to get things done quicker. And so I would like to find ways to do that within the rules, particularly get things done quicker. But if every agenda item is on the agenda for 4 months, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, I think we are wasting time. We need to find a way, and if it means changing our policies and procedures with accesses, participation, we need to find a way to handle the same paper less and move it forward. So those are kind of just the context of this. And Rachel.
Yeah. So Crystal Fox has her hand raised. She's a member of another IOC, and I believe she can talk as that IOC member.
Good.
Even though in other scenarios. Okay. So go ahead, Crystal.
We changed the rules there. She's a member of this, an ex officio member of this committee.
Yeah. Well, there is actually a couple things with that. You can actually at the beginning of the meeting vote me in as a non-voting member. And I can then speak as a committee member. But this time I'm just trying to help you guys get through this. I do know in our DDD meetings that Dr. Potts is correct that what Matthew did is also correct, that you can do all that. You bring out your all the things that you want to do or that you want to send. And then you create a motion that I would like to look into this, and do I have the committee's approval to do that? And then Holly would do her procedure, and you would just vote on it, and it would be done. That's the way we do it in DDD. But I do. That's what I know. And I'll let you go back to your what you guys decide you want to do.
Thank you. That's great.
You're welcome.
So just so we are, we'll stay in sync with what I've heard. Matthew, I'm going to ask you, we'll bring the letters that you sent to us back to the committee next time. We'll spend another month on this, and we'll get a vote by the committee.
Can we do it? The letters. We all have the letters, right?
Correct.
So could we vote on it now?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I'll entertain a motion to for the committee chair to transmit through the proper channels to the letters that have been generated for inquiry by the subcommittee that Matthew chairs.
I second.
All in favor? Aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, we'll do it. Great. Thanks. All right, I think we're out of time, are we?
We're close. Do you still want to go into the other discussion, Holly? I think you called it non-public. I don't remember the right word. Executive? I don't remember.
No, we're not going into executive session. We didn't put it on the agenda, but we'll... and that really was just to say that Josh has stepped down as co-chair. I think all the committees, some of the other committees obviously don't agree, but I think committees are better with co-chairs because particularly if everybody's working, if you don't happen to have a co-chair or a chair who's retired and not retired, just not in the workforce, I think it's hard to have the bandwidth to do it. And I would like to have a co-chair, and we can talk about that next time. For some reason, my screen got really tiny, teeny tiny. Rachel has her. Who has their hand up? I saw a hand.
Yeah, I do. We actually, our bylaws say we should have a vice chair. So I suggest we just get a vice chair in lieu of a co-chair. Have the same function.
Okay.
That's all.
That's fine. Same. Yeah, it performs the same function. Good, Dr. Potts. So I guess Dr. Potts raised his hand.
That was a butt dialing you.
What?
I butt dialed. I'm sorry.
Oh. It's a good joke, Dr. Potts. That was a good joke.
Thank you.
Did you see the email from Crystal Fox requesting an investigation? Should we talk about that next time?
No, there is one final thing. And is Crystal still on? Crystal Fox? Ms. Fox?
I am still on.
Okay, great. The final item on the agenda, and Rachel reminded me, Ms. Fox has requested that the IOC conduct an investigation of the quality of care lapses that resulted ultimately in her son's suicide.
And the death of...
And
Joshua's
death. And the death of his father. She has wonderful records going back years. This is going to be a complex investigation because it involves different entities over a different period of time. It may warrant just having a special, maybe one or two people do this. We will get the letter out. Did it go out to the entire committee? Did we send it to everybody?
No, but it just came in. No. Oh, the today. Two chairs. Okay. So right. I don't know if we should even be discussing it or not yet.
No, we've gotten
just well, came in today.
We've received it. And so it will be a lengthy investigation. So and we've got to sort out some conflict of interest issues. Dr. Potts was a provider. I don't think that necessarily disqualifies Dr. Potts.
I wasn't a provider.
Well, you did an evaluation.
Yes, correct. I was not a provider.
So we will deal with that next time. I will send the letter out and we'll figure out the best way to go, how to do it, and so on. So motion to adjourn.
We can talk about where next meeting is. I'm sorry. Or agenda items.
If you have requested agenda items, send them. We're going to shorten the agenda. If you look at the IOC agenda, well, we can. I would like to. If you look at the IOC agenda for, say, the Arizona State Hospital, it has subheadings only. In the old days, we were told by Access, when they didn't like us very much, their general counsel or one of the lawyers over there said, you have to say everything you're going to talk about. You can't just say quality of care reports. You have to say quality of care reports about and put put the specific reports you're going to talk about. That is no longer the case. So I have modeled this a bit off now of the IOC at the Arizona State Hospital agenda. But it's up to the committee. Do you want a more detailed agenda, or are we good going with simply the headings?
I'm good with headings. I think whoever's in charge of the agenda item should be able to provide whatever details needed. And what Dr. Potts did in sending out what he wanted to speak about ahead of time was great as well.
Yeah. Okay. So any agenda items. I also am going to try New Year's resolution. Didn't work this first month. To get the agendas out like a week in advance and then a day or two before.
Can we put in there under subcommittee reports, could you at least list the subcommittees?
Sure.
And then number two, can we put old business in there? Because we still haven't talked about update on the Emmanuel Campus of Care report, a couple other things.
All right. Good.
So we need to have old business on there as well, okay, if that's going to be a good catch-all, because
sure.
Otherwise we just have new business and never resolve anything.
Yeah. Thank you.
And then the next place, can we agree in a place? I think it would be nice if we could agree to meet in person at a place with good AV, like we used to meet downtown, even though it was inconvenient. I don't know if your office now has better AV, you did.
I have two options. One is in my conference room, which seats 3, 6, 8 comfortably. Or I have a conference room that's available in the building for free, which will hold 40 people, and we have three big screen TVs and et cetera. So my office is at 3200 North Central, which is at roughly Osborne and Central. It's south of Osborne, the second building south of Osborne on the west side of the street. Parking is in a garage to the back of the building. I do validate parking. It's certainly less convenient than Josh's office, but we can accommodate more people, and we've certainly got big screen capability.
Don McReynolds has her hand up.
Yes. Hi, Don.
Hi. Thank you. I'm just wondering, for the health plan representatives, is this an invitation for us to attend in person as well, or would there still be a virtual component of the meetings when you decide that you'd like to meet in person? Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely, Don. Absolutely. There will always be for the health plans a virtual opportunity. And we don't, at any time, we don't expect you to be there in person. At any time you want to come, that would be wonderful. But we're talking here about having the committee in person.
Thank you, Holly. I appreciate the clarification. Sure.
Okay, so why don't we chat informally among ourselves? I'm happy to have it at my office. It's certainly not as convenient in this one as this one story park outside walk-in at this Josh's, but and he did graciously say we could meet here every time. I think that probably is going to get old for him. right? So we will schedule the next meeting at,
you're good.
Am I muted?
Nope.
Oh, okay, great. So I think we'll schedule the next meeting at my office. Okay. Motion to adjourn?
Second.
So moved.
Everybody in favor, aye.
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 Thank you. And I'm so glad you're with us, Joel. Thank you very much. And we'll look forward to seeing you in the future. And thanks for everybody's work on our mission. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you, Ollie.
Thanks, bye. Everyone. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.